I could probably tell you what you're thankful for the most, because I know you that well, but there's something in your heart that needs to be expressed when you're thankful to God. You need to speak it forth, right? The words, your words are important. And I spoke about this a couple of days ago, but it was like when the angel came to Daniel, he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel." By the moment that you made up your mind to know and desire the will of God, to know what it means, your words were heard. Now get that. Your words were heard. Not just her thoughts, but his words were heard. So, what are you saying? What should you be saying? You should be saying how thankful you are, primarily. And this is a wonderful time of year. Thanksgiving is an American holiday. And in England, it's Remembrance Day, right, Cheryl? And so it's a good time of year for you. People say Happy Thanksgiving or whatever. So, yeah, and you can just respond to this. Yeah, I'm really thankful. And I'll tell you what I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the outpouring of this Holy Spirit. Because that was the purpose of the resurrection. So he could send to the Father, to so he could descend into your heart. And bring his purposes upon the earth in the church. When the church was born, it was an awesome thing. So I'm thankful for that. Specifically in my life, though. And it's good to be specific. It's not just these generalizations. But it's good to be specific. How are you thankful? In what way are you thankful? What things are you thankful for? If you wake up in the middle of the night and the enemy's having a playground in your mind, maybe you should have a list you can go to of the things that you're thankful for. Make a list. Then make a list of the brothers and sisters that need prayer. Right? Because as Roger was saying, is if, when they get close to the finish line and they can't make it, they pick them up, drag them across the line. I like that. I like that metaphor. There are some times when we need each other more than you think we do. And church families are for exactly that. So you'd be thankful for that. What a wonderful thing to know and love you. Yeah. But so there's a progression here. First, Thanksgiving. That seems like a logical thing. And I know the historians are taking apart their first Thanksgiving and saying, oh, it really wasn't about that at all, blah, blah, blah. Where do they get these people? Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. Let's not make it any more complicated than that. But that has an outcome that we want to praise whoever made that possible. So if my father gave me something that I was thankful for, I would praise him for it. I said, thank you, Dad. You're such a wonderful dad. That's praise. And when God gives us something, it's easy to go from one to the other and say, you don't have to have a lot of theology behind us, okay? This isn't really tough religion, right? So you're thankful and you praise the Lord. So praise the Lord is a concept and a theology, but it's more than that. It's something that it becomes a part of our very fabric, our nature, as Donnie likes to say all the time, our DNA. Something we cannot divorce from us. We are a thankful people. And even when things aren't going our way and the circumstances seem to fail, we are still a thankful people. In the fiber of our being, it cannot be separated from who we are. And we were singing that last song. There was something else that was an outgrowth of that praise, and that's worship. I just have to look around the room and see how many people are worshiping the Lord. You weren't just being thankful. You weren't just praising the Lord. You are worshiping the Lord God from the innermost part of your being. Wow. That's not just a little thing. That's a big thing. That disrupts the universe that Satan is trying to build and establishes the kingdom of God in your life and all around you, the kingdom of God. What an awesome thing it is. Not to be taken lightly. It isn't. Why do you come to church? To be with one another so that we can encourage one another? Yes. To be thankful, to praise. But the real thing that you're really looking for is the worship that's born in your heart by the Holy Spirit to give back to him what he deserves. More than you can ever know. And in that, there's some outcomes. In that thanksgiving, praise, and worship, the outcomes are very simple. You have a strength that you didn't have before. You never knew. Could never know. And you have that ability for healing to come forth, for your soul, for your spirit, for the physical body. You are one. Just as the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are one. You are one. Body, soul, and spirit. And so when you worship the Lord, there is a healing. Drink it in. Somebody said to me the other day, she said, when you're praying for your shoulder, love it a little. So I do. It's okay. I really love you, you know. It doesn't matter how much you're hurting me right now, but I'm not going to desert you. I'm not somehow going to throw you away. I don't need my shoulder anymore. No, I think I still do. If nothing else, to raise my hands and worship the Lord. Amen? Number two, there comes out of this something that's a lot different than you see in the denominational churches and the theology of worship. There becomes, you go from a passive stance, posture, to an active one. I really like passive worship. I love, right? I really love to listen to Handel's Messiah and just sit there, drink it in passively. I just let drink it in. A lot of what God was doing in the renewal, we were just sitting there on the floor drinking it in. Passive worship. Because you're not doing anything. In the spirit you are. And that's what's next. It comes as active worship. And the active worship means that you are purposely worshiping God. It isn't an accident. And you tell him that. Go ahead, tell the Lord, this isn't an accident. I'm doing this on purpose because I love you that much. Yeah, active worship. What a outcome that is. And when you've been there, how can you give it up? I've heard so many people talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I think probably that's the only way, but that's just my opinion. If you've tasted that and walk away, it's really hard to come back. And I've seen men and women do that. It's a sad testimony. Very sad testimony. But you know what? I don't give up praying for them. They have, some of that I know, they have given up hope in ever receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and ever speaking in tongues, and ever having that one-on-one relationship with our Lord God in the Spirit. It isn't just because he died on the cross for us. That's wonderful that he did. How wonderful. Wow, we sing about the blood. There's no substitute for it. But he did all of that so that we could be with him forever. Worship him. Wake up in the night, you have nothing else to do, worship him. Worship him in tongues. You don't have the words to speak, pray in tongues. Worship him in tongues. Sing with the tongues of angels, the scripture says. Paul says he does that. I'm right there with him. You know, and sometimes when I'm doing that, I almost feel, say almost because I don't know what's coming from the air conditioning or what, but I feel the breeze of the angels' wings. And it's like, oh, Lord, I just know they're here. I know they're here. I know that they're encouraging me. When Jesus was praying in the garden, it says that his angel came down and ministered to him. Well, you know, he was serving his Father just as we do. So we have that privilege of letting them do that for us. But what's more important, and speaking to those out in Zoom land as well, as we may not be physically present with one another, but we spiritually are. So when I tell you I'm praying for you, you know that I am. It's not just a saying. It's not just a Christian quip and a theology. It is a reality that I'm praying for you. And so your pain becomes my pain. And your outcomes become my outcomes. And I pray all the more. What a privilege it is to pray for one another. This is all the outcome, by the way, of giving thanks to the Lord. We are called a chosen people. Not for nothing. And a chosen people are a thankful people. A chosen people are praising people. And a chosen people are a worshiping people. Amen? You know, I can't get away from the Lord's Prayer too far. Our Father, and you declare, the first third of that whole prayer is declarative. Who art in heaven? What is that? That's worship. It's coming from a heart of worship. It isn't just theology that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-powerful. It is a declarative statement in the spirit of worship to the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven. Holy, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come here on this earth, just like it is in heaven. Now, Friday, you're going to be treated to a lunar eclipse, the longest one of this century. You can't really miss it unless it's cloudy. So I'm praying for clear skies. I got all of my cameras ready. Jessica says she's going to be out there with her telescope, so she's going to take pictures of it. Just as the beauty of the heavens is in order, so he wants his order here on earth. So out of worship becomes an active thing, not just actively worshiping in spirit and in truth, but something that takes place in your life to change you and to change the way you do things and to weed out the concepts you have of in your old nature. Weed them out. If you see something that's not God, take it out. It doesn't belong there. It's not you. It's not part of your DNA. It's not part of your fabric. Psalm 95 says, you want to know how to give thanks to the Lord. This is a good way, good psalm. So come, let us sing to the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can play the guitar and sing to the Lord? Now, some of you don't know how to play the guitar, but you can listen to it. I don't know how many, last Friday, Donnie wasn't here, so, or this Friday either, for that matter, but I was asked to play, and I really enjoyed doing that. But people came up to me later, after the time together, worship and praise, and thanked me for playing and worshiping the Lord with them, leading them. Sing. Let us sing unto the Lord. What a wonderful, it isn't just a theology, it's a wonderful thing. It's part of us. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And Dale used to talk about noise all the time because he used to think that he had a noisy voice when he sang. I used to sit next to him on occasion. It didn't sound that noisy to me. Maybe I was just listening in the spirit. But it doesn't really matter. In fact, over and over he talks about that noise. In the world, the noise is something you don't want. It's a distraction to the main attraction. Noise. But not to the Lord. Worship is like a noise to him that he cannot ignore. A joyful noise, especially to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. So how do you come to the Lord? I don't feel like it. You may have had a hard day, hard week, hard month, hard year, hard, you know, decade. It doesn't matter. Come to the Lord with thanksgiving. And again he says, let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. So it doesn't matter whether you can hold a note or not. Donnie will make up for that, right, Don? Just play the guitar a little louder. Why? For the Lord, and here comes part of what praise and thanksgiving is about. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. I wish I had more words to say that. In fact, we do have more words. He is the universal King. He's the King of the universe. He's Lord of Lords. Above all small g gods. Because there really is no other God but him. In the hands, and here's, it goes right to Job, right? In his hands are the depths of the earth. Really? Wow. Most of us have never been to the depths of the earth. I've been down underwater 115 feet, maybe a little more than that, with scuba gear. And I know I heard a voice, I don't know if it was God or not, but he says, you really shouldn't be here. So at that point, I start to go back up again. But the depths of the earth are a marvelous thing to see. And with television and, you know, all the stuff we see on the internet about the depths of the sea, what a wonderful, wonderful place it is. That we, and the word wonder is surrounding that. The heights of the mountains are his also, I have never been to Mount Everest, but I can only imagine and see through the camera's eyes what it's like. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. These are all declaratives. The praise of the Lord comes out of that thanksgiving. You're thankful for those things that he created in your life. Now, this fall, you know, I don't know that the maple reds were really all that good. There's some of them that were pretty good. But the oak trees right now are displaying like crazy. And the oranges, and the way the sun dappled the lights through the morning sky to this morning was just like, wow, don't miss it. What a mighty God we serve. So I took a couple pictures so you can see them and remind myself of what God can do. He can do much more than that. We heard a little bit of this already in the prophetic word this morning in Revelations 4, 8 through 11. And this is some of the expansive understanding and why we're grateful and why we praise and why we worship the Lord. More important, why we worship. And all around the throne, on each side of the throne, four living creatures. And just describe something we can't possibly, Hollywood cannot possibly do this one justice. Really, I can't. Full of eyes in front and behind. First living creature like a lion. The second like an ox. And the third living creature like a man. And the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. I like that one. And the four living creatures, each of them, six wings, full of eyes, all around, within, day and night, never cease saying. So these creatures had all the senses they could possibly want. Right? And what was the outcome of what they were seeing? Creation, of who God was and who we are and who the universe is or is. Their outcome was, never cease saying this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipresent. The theology is there, but it's more than just the theology. I might just stop here and say, I'm not trying to disenfranchise theology. I love theology. Those of you who know me know that's true. But theology by itself is dry and does not contain what we need to live. It has to become a part of us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So by the very word that he spoke to create this whole universe, whether it was a big bang or something else, it doesn't really make any difference. It was his word. And it will be his last word to bring it to a close. Was and is to come. So, there you have it in a nutshell. That's all Einstein ever had to know. Bruce said the other night, he said, I'm not as smart as this guy that I'm going to talk to. Well, if he knows that, he's smart. I remember when I went out evangelizing with Jose in Mexico, he said, this girl, Peter, let me tell you, before we go up there, she's really smart. She's really intelligent. So I thought, wow, maybe she went to grad school or something. Well, that's not even what he was talking about. Whatever he was translating didn't come out right. But it wasn't a academic intelligence. It was intelligence in knowing the Word of God and applying it to her life. And you know what? He's more right than I am. She's a smart girl and is. You are too. Don't let the enemy take that away from you. He wants all of you and your brain. And then whenever these creatures started doing this, and that was all times, right? They said they never ceased doing this. It says, and whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, that's all the time, and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down. What else would you do? What will it be like when I stand before the Lord? And there was that country song that had that one, right? That line. What will I do? Will I stand before you? Will I fall to my knees? Or will I dance before you? Maybe all three at once. They fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before him saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive the glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. There are the doctrines of omnipotence. omnipresence as well. Everything is there that you need to know. I used to say to those that I went in the nursing home, some who had severe dementia, I said, if you can get this, you're okay. And you know what? In fact, I don't know anyone that couldn't, unless they couldn't speak. Yeah, they would say, yes, I know. Because they can be thankful. They are a creature of the Most High God. Is that good? So when you give thanks to the Lord, and you praise the Lord, and you worship the Lord, this isn't a small thing that you're doing. You are declaring before the gates of hell, the kingdom of God will rule and reign upon this earth. It doesn't matter what CNN says. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Wolf Blitzer says. It doesn't even matter what Walter Cronkite used to say. I'm dating myself now, right? It doesn't matter what I say. There is an important one. It doesn't matter what I say. I can remember sitting down at the dinner table at college, surrounded by my peers, and we're all talking about this, that, and the other thing, all trying to make an impression upon one another. I got up and I said, you know what? I don't believe I've ever sinned. I said those very words. You know what? What a fool. What a fool I was. Are you kidding me? Not only was my theology wrong, but everything in that statement is wrong. The natural tendency is for us to find our way by ourselves, by our own thinking, by our own wits. Finding our way and thinking by our own wits, Isaiah says, it's like we're all like sheep who are doing our own thing, seeing what's right in our own eyes. Matthew chapter 7 says that, 8 or 9, I think. It's in Matthew, anyway. It talks to them and says, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Jesus' brother says, you know what you need to do? You need to advertise now. This is the time of the feast. This is the time for you to make your presence known. And he said to them, you know, every time is right for you. But not to the Lord. The Lord has a time and a place for everything. Season. But the four creatures had no seasons. They were worshiping the Lord all the time. So there should not be a place where you cease to worship the Lord. Let me say that. There's no line saying, that's it, I've had it. I give up. In fact, the New Testament says, don't grow weary of doing good. Don't do it. If you feel that way, call me. I'll try to cheer you up. Read the scripture. Worship the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. It will bring you to a place of thankfulness. That will bring you to a place then of praise. That will then give you a place of worship in your heart. Colossians 3:16. I'm just going to read these scriptures to emphasize what I'm saying, and then we'll close. It said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Meditate on it. Teaching and admonishing one another. That means nobody's exempt from this. You don't have to be a teacher. We should all be doing this. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And you go on Twitter, and I'm not going to say the senator's name, but he always gives a scripture. And this morning's scripture, it was not one that was worshipful at all. It was like whatever was going to happen next in his theology, things are going to be even darker or something. It was the scripture he quoted. And I thought, how is that lifting up anything? If he was going to do that scripture, there was one right after it, which was better, about the glory of God. After the enemy's finished his work, the light of the Lord will still be shining, even brighter than he could ever be. Remember, he was called an angel of light. But his light is like a dim, incandescent, dusty bulb compared to whatever we use today. Hebrews 10:25. Do not neglect to meet together. I can just worship the Lord by myself. No. As is the habit of some, but encourage one another, all the more as you see the day draw near. What day? the day of the end times, which is happening. The day of the return of the Lord. Every day you're drawing near. Encourage one another. Don't discourage each other. Encourage. That sounds easy, but sometimes you have to put that on as a garment you put on in the morning. Somebody talked about putting clothes on. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was you, Bruce. I don't remember. But Roger? Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I get a vision every time I put my clothes on in the morning of my high school teacher in gym class in singles balancing. Did you ever do singles balancing where you have to stand on one leg and do a trick or something, and then you doubles balancing, you get on somebody's shoulders, and you do another trick? And I can remember my coach saying, "You're pretty good at this." So as I'm trying to put my shirt on in the morning, I'm saying, "I'm pretty good at this, sort of." And a smile comes to my face. You know why? Because I am thankful to the Lord. Even if you have limited capacity to do what you need to do, you still have the capacity to do it. Don't give up. Encourage one another. Now, Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. I can tell when that's happening. I said good morning to Cheryl this morning. She says, you're not smiling. She says, it's over here somewhere. Because in her heart, she is smiling. And so soon, that smile comes to her face. It's a wonderful thing to know other Christians, isn't it? Is that right out there in Zoom land? Yes, it is. Michael, John, yeah, amen. How do you make melody in your heart? By giving thanks. The problem is we have a lot of other song and melodies that go around in here. If you have grandchildren like I do, Luke was singing something about honeybees or something, and won't my mom be happy, or this crazy little song. And that's what I got up singing, and I was like, ew. How about Jesus? Jesus, there's just something about that name. Oh, that goes deep. Right down to, as my pathologist friends would say, right down into the cockles of your heart. Does anybody know what a cockle is? All right, well, now you know. A cockle is a corner. It's a corner of your heart. Yeah. A needless thing to know. All right, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Isn't that something to be grateful about? Oh, yeah. And thus, let us offer to God an acceptable worship. What is that? What is acceptable worship? Focused on Him, not on the things around us, with reverence and awe. Sincere, not made up, not perfunctory in any way, not just something we rotely do. But we come to God in truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth. For our God is a consuming fire. Why do we need that consuming fire? A lot of reasons. Because a lot of chaff that needs to be burned up. And a lot of things around us we need to know that it's not going to be here after He shakes, after His tribulation comes. Or in John 4:23, it says, for the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Is that right? His eyes go to and fro looking for those who are worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Says the same thing in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him, those who are faithful to the Lord. Well, I want to be a faithful servant to the Lord. I don't really care too much about my accomplishments. I used to. I have a lot of letters after my name, if you saw them all. I'm not really concerned about those or even happy about them, some of them. But I am happy about who I am in God. And I am really thankful about him not giving up on me and changing my character into his character. See, I know I can look at some of you, and you knew my character 20 years ago, and you would have said, who is this guy? But I've changed since then. Changed a lot since then. I remember after my bicycle accident in 2006, I'm around there, I had a lateral concussion. And that means that the one hemisphere of your brain tears away from the other one, just a little bit, depending on how bad the concussion is. Well, I was going about 30 miles an hour when I hit the concrete like that. Broke my jaw, broke my collarbone, some ribs. Was up and about in about a week. I was off of IV push morphine in 3 days. But there was one thing, there was many things that had to happen. The first thing I noticed was that I didn't know how to tie my shoes. I had to learn some things you do every day. I learned them all over again. But what was really interesting to me is I had to learn emotions over again because my memory was still intact. I could remember my father and my mother doing some things, but I didn't have any emotions attached to them. So I went to the Lord in prayer and said, what do I do? He says, attach emotion to it. Love, kindness, the love of a father, the love of your mother. Attach those emotions to it. So that's what I did. So my wife said to me, she said, you know what? You've changed. I said, in what way? You're more compassionate. You know, I did that willfully. It was the work of the Holy Spirit because he told me to do that. So in the face of accusations, in the face of people slandering, in the face of all kinds of things, the Lord said, put on my compassion, my loving kindness in this situation. Don't go to your old memories and find the emotion that was there, but look to where I am in this. She's smiling, my sister. Is that good? So now, when we celebrate Thanksgiving next week and together today, let us put on that compassion of mercy and loving kindness that the Lord has for us and express that to others because we are a thankful people, because we praise the Lord, because we worship from the depths of our being. Amen? Father, we ask you, Lord, to go before us. This is not something that's so theological. Everybody knows this stuff, but it's not something we know necessarily in the depths of the heart that you want to build it. So we ask you to build your kingdom even more. Make the foundation of that thankfulness stronger even yet. In the face of the adversary, make that foundation stronger even yet, more than it has been in the past. That we would be able to stand on the wisdom that's in our Lord Jesus, and the wisdom of our Father in heaven, not in the wisdom of men, not even in the theology that we make up and understand, but in the reality of who you are in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.